in the value of relationships. Do you think that you maximize all of the relationships in your personal and business life? And what does it really mean to have mutually beneficial relationships? Hey, everybody, it's Jamie Tates. I am the host of your Superpower Success Podcast, and we are glad that you're back here today. I have the privilege of having Aaron Zaslavsky on here. He is the principal at Wheelhouse Communications, and he is an expert on relationships and how relationships can really help drive our business and help us take kind of ourselves as leaders to the next level. And that's what he does, is works with leaders at all levels of organizations to be better communicators and to be better relationship builders to get more done. And I think we all agree that that is a fundamental thing in today's business climate that is needed. So I'm so glad you're here, Aaron. And instead of doing a bio, I would just love you to I know your story, and I'd love you to share that with our listeners on kind of where you've been and how you're, you know, now here at Wheelhouse and some of the great work that you guys are doing.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, first of all, Jamie. This is a real privilege and a thrill. I'll give you my quick history. I'll start personal first, which is something I know we'll get to during the course of the podcast. So I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota, originally, and went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I was in the journalism school there. And I've been out in the working world for, 18 years or so, which feels like a really long time. But my wife, Anne, is a educational psychology PhD and a professor at the University of Wisconsin River Falls. And we have three kids, Nora, who's 7, Julia is 5, and George is 6 months. So that's the gist of it for me and our family. Professionally, I started off in the advertising agency world and was at a few agencies, one in Minneapolis, one in Madison, Wisconsin, and a combination of account management and business development. And that was my first a sense of what relationships look like in business and how to cultivate them to be mutually beneficial and also reciprocal. Spent 8 years after the agency stint with McDonald's in a corporate communications role and also as the chief of staff for a business unit, a couple billion-dollar business unit based in the Twin Cities. And then was at Ameriprise Financial, working with the CIO and his team in change communication and executive positioning. And then about 2 years ago, I started Wheelhouse Communications, where I'm focused on two things. One, executive positioning and trust, and two, employee engagement and the relationship theme and nurturing intentional, mutually beneficial relationships certainly plays into most, if not all, of the work that I do with my clients up until today.
Such a passion area for me as well. And I love the work that you're doing. And we'll make sure people have those details on how to get more information on Wheelhouse and you at the end. But that whole employee engagement piece is just becoming, you know, critically more important. So I'm excited to give some people, you know, give our listeners some tips and other different things that they can do to engage their own employee base, whether they're a business owner or a leader in corporate America, and just how we think about this differently. But before we get into that topic, because you're on the Superpower Success Podcast, we have to always ask, what is one of your superpowers, Aaron, that's really helped you throughout your career?
Yeah, that's a great question. I spent a lot of time, Jamie, actually thinking about that. And I'll boil it down to maybe 1.5 things. The first is really being able to shape the character of executives and also companies. And perhaps we'll get into this later on, but I view relationships, and especially personal relationships at an executive level, as comprised of two aspects. One is character. And one is competence. And competence is exactly what it sounds like. It's the ability, the effectiveness in your role, the influence you have. Character is something that we can shape. And that's what I spend a lot of my time doing with clients like the Science Museum of Minnesota and TCF Bank and others. So I would go to shaping character of executives and companies. And then that half would be nurturing reciprocal relationships. That's just something, and I was blessed. My dad was a vocational counselor for 25 years, and he trained my brother and I up on the job search process and how to position yourself as a candidate. And I've now taken that into my professional life. So shaping character and nurturing relationships. Those are my superpowers that I have today.
I love that. And I can attest to your nurturing relationships. That's why we are so close on a business front, because you are definitely somebody that lives your values. So I appreciate that about you. Today, you know, we're talking about relationships, and we've used that word, you know, quite a few times already. And really the idea, you know, the topic of the podcast that hopefully drew people in was that ideas don't sell, relationships do. And to most of us, when we hear that, right, or anytime someone says, you know, relationship building is important, we all say, well, of course it is, right? Like that's a given that we all believe it, but I don't think we all exercise it. We don't practice it in the way that we should. And so can you just give us your perspective? Because I know this is something you're very passionate about the role that relationships play in getting ideas sold and partnerships. And this can really play personally and professionally, because it really crosses boundaries. So what's your perspective on that? Or how do you coach and help executives?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I would start by saying, Jamie, that relationships are a competitive differentiator. And that's more from a professional and a business standpoint. And here's a little bit of what I mean. So I just mentioned that I was at McDonald's for 8 years, working in a corporate communications role and chief of staff for a business unit in the Twin Cities. And one of the areas where McDonald's is really stand out is that relationship between the franchisee and the franchisor. And most of the franchisees are small business people in the local communities. You know, have 5 to 8 restaurants on average. And they are also dependent on their communities and customers, but the franchisor, which is McDonald's corporate, and that relationship has really been the success that McDonald's has seen in light of lawsuits from Quiznos and Wendy's and other competitors of McDonald's that don't have that strength of a relationship. And therefore don't have it as a competitive differentiator. I've been part of many conversations with McDonald's franchisees where the influence of the corporation and the relationship, which is first and foremost built on a personal relationship with a professional foundation on top, that relationship gets, say, equipment and decor packages into restaurants, that gets new products launched. That relationship is what allows the company, in this case, McDonald's, to take a percentage off the top line and the franchisees to take a percentage off the bottom line. So those are the real P&L implications of relationships within the context of McDonald's and the strength of that franchisee-franchisor relationship, which is purely their success and also is mutually beneficial by nature. Otherwise, partners don't move.
That's a really unique perspective. And actually, I'm scribbling notes here because I think we don't oftentimes think of relationships as a competitive advantage. We think of it as a necessary evil. And not evil in the way, but like, of course, we have to build relationships or we're not in business. But you're taking it even to the next level and with brands and companies that are looking at relationships as that competitive advantage to get more done. And to get it more effectively and probably much more sustainably, where it's not a transactional, you're not having to change those relationships every year over year, which is it costs the companies a lot of money to do that. In your experience. So I this takes me back to, you know, just kind of growing up. And I think even in my early corporate days, the idea of a win-win kind of solution, right? Or that win-win situations where both of us can mutually benefit from what's happening. And, you know, I remember at a very early age in my corporate career, and I don't even know who, but I just remember it being in my head. And I think there was a book that came out about this and a leader just saying, that's not possible. Win-wins don't exist. Somebody always has to lose. And you just don't want to be the one that loses. And so that sticks in my head. And when you talk about mutually beneficial, it seems it doesn't, like for me, I'm like, is there really a mutually beneficial way? I believe there is now, but I think there are a lot of people out there that believe if I win, you have to lose something, right? Maybe not drastically. I want your opinion, your thoughts, and how you coach leaders and help them understand this whole mutually beneficial relationship structure.
Sure. I think it rings a bell because I think you and I have talked about this outside the podcast on a number of occasions too. I would start with a couple things. First of all, I do wholeheartedly believe in win-win. I don't think that a win-lose is a particularly healthy way to look at relationships or business for that matter. And it's a bit cynical as well. And frankly, in my opinion at least, and this is based on a lot of the human psychology and social science that backs this up, it isn't, in fact, the way relationships are. They can and should be win-win if, in fact, they are partner relationships that are set up to be mutually beneficial. And I'll go to two really main premises of the work that I do with clients that informs all of this work to build relationships for business purposes. And like I said before, use relationships as a competitive differentiator. The first is good ideas usually don't sell themselves, right? There are people behind these ideas. So a lot of times we'll overvalue the idea or the product and how novel it is or how much demand there is in the marketplace. When in actuality, if you think about a product, I would argue that relationships, they find distribution channels, that relationships find retailers or business partners. So good ideas don't sell themselves, but relationships do. And there are plenty of ideas throughout history that didn't have the savvy of a person or founder or investor, whoever it is, that we've never heard of because they didn't build the relationships to ultimately sell the idea. And the second piece is influence is really incremental. And whether we're talking about in your personal life with your kids, you know, I have three kids, and every day I hope that I'm building a level of a loving relationship, but ultimately a level of influence with my children to say, hey, daddy knows what he's talking about some of the time, not all the time. But on the business side, influence is also incremental because if you think about what I use a terminology of a partner relationship, you have to build up to that point where you consider someone a partner. And I can provide a definition for that if that would be a good place to go in the conversation, Jamie. But a partner relationship is one where you show interest in family life and you're willing to be imposed upon. You request favors and share sensitive information. This doesn't sound like a regular day-to-day relationship with a colleague, right? This sounds like a close partnership where people are mutually invested in one another and building influence, not power, influence toward each other for the sake of their own business goals, strategy, etc. So I'll take it back to your original question is, do I believe in win-win situations? Wholeheartedly, but it's important to really understand the philosophy behind it and also the mindset that you need to have to really actively cultivate relationships. Because you said something before that really just stuck with me, which is relationships are difficult. They don't nurture themselves. Business relationships in particular slide back much more quickly than personal relationships because they typically don't have a personal foundation. And so when I shared my opening remarks, I was very careful to discuss me personally to give your wonderful listeners a sense of who I am and why I should be considered credible on this topic beyond my expertise and work with clients and the science and everything else that I study on this. But there's part of me that's personal that you need to know in order to first know, then like, and then trust. And there's a continuum there. So I just go back to yes, win-win, and any other way of looking at it perhaps demonstrates a lack of understanding of the power of relationships and how to go about nurturing them for business purposes.
And I love all of that. And I'm going to ask you another question on that whole win-win and people's changing mindset on that, because I do think it's something that's evolving in the business climate right now. But I want to go back to that whole influence is incremental. That could be a whole podcast in and of itself, just talking about that ability to influence other people doesn't come from just, hey, trust me, right? In the moment, I'm trying to sell you something or trying to create that partnership, that it comes over time, kind of brick by brick. And I just spoke at a leadership conference last Friday, and the whole premise of kind of was around, you know, leadership and vulnerability and being an authentic leader in your strengths and building trust, you know, before you need it. So kind of putting in a credit before you need to debit. And I think there's a lot of, you know, companies and businesses right now that expect their employees to trust them through change or through whatever's happening in their business when they haven't put any credits in that account yet. And I think it's important for us all to realize is that trust and that influence and all of that comes over walking the walk and showing up in different situations and slowly building it versus thinking that you just can have it right out of the gate. And I think, you know, when you look at sales and some of these positions and how they're having to transition, which is my next question for you, is that whole win-win versus win-lose and relationships and truly driving business growth. How do you think the business climate has changed in terms of that in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years and put more of an emphasis on relationships? What do you see on your side?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I would say to the first part of that, we all earn the right to change someone's mind and also have our mind changed. And if you're earning that right, you're doing so over time. And that just gets back to the incremental piece of influence that is, in fact, incremental. You know, the business climate, I would say, and I know there's a lot of talk of how technology changes society and media changes society, and that's all very true. But there's a few points here when we're talking about building reciprocal relationships that I think are really important. Within the context of either business 10 years ago, business today, or business in the future, there are just some tenets of being human that I believe are close to, if not unchangeable, if that's a word. The first is social media, right? It's a frequent topic. It's a love-hate kind of relationship that we have with social media. But in terms of relationships, social media does not count as relational content. And here's what I mean by that. Social media is great for informing, for sharing knowledge, but it pales in comparison to what I would call richer media, like face-to-face conversations, like phone calls, group meetings, those kinds of things. Social media is really far down the list when it comes to building influence and using relationships, as I said before, as a competitive differentiator. But these are the times that we live in. So there's an overuse of social media with the expectation that it's going to have relationship implications that are good. I'm here to tell you that it can, but it's highly limited. And to rely too much on social media, which is the way of our times, which gets to your question, Jamie, is to not understand how relationships, which take work and discipline, really are built to have influence, not power, and social media can actually get in our way if we're not careful. Another piece of that too is, so I think modern times, there's just technology allows us to have less face-to-face interaction. We can jump on Skype, we can jump on a webinar, but face-to-face, and this gets back to the richness, quote-unquote, of the vehicle, is how relationships are built. There's a tenet in psychology that if you give me the choice, and this is based on science, of frequency of contact versus duration of contact. Say, Aaron, do you want 4 15-minute phone calls over the course of the year to nurture an influential, mutually beneficial relationship, or do you want one-hour coffee? I'm going to take 4 15-minute phone calls all day, every day, because frequency is what drives partnership. And I think a lot of times technology allows us to have lower touch and less rich media that we choose because it's so easy, when in actuality relationships are built face to face or as live as we can get it. And that's something that has changed with technology, with the ease and convenience of technology over the last 5-10 years. And you know, the last thing I would say, Jamie, too, is the time that's spent building personal relationships. I think there's it's funny, I coach a number of students. So there's a group that I volunteer with called Upturnships. They train in place students of color primarily with college internships. It's a wonderful organization. And a couple times a year, I train on networking. And I also do some work with University of St. Thomas based here in St. Paul, and have done a few different courses and campaigns and research projects with students. And invariably, there's a small few students, say out of 30, maybe two or three will reach out to me as a professional who's been out in the working world for quite some time and want to lean on my insights and get a sense for my career path and what's to be learned for their purposes. But if you think about it, that's 10%. And that gets back to the original comment that I made about relationships as a competitive differentiator. So if you're not one of those people that is spending time building personal relationships, earning the right to change someone's mind, knowing that we succeed when other people want us to, someone's beating you to that. And in a world where relationships sell and ideas don't to the same degree, acknowledging how your nurturing of relationships and development of that skill sets you apart and also sets you up to succeed to a higher degree than other people, because there are just not that many people with an awareness or understanding of what it is to build meaningful, mutually beneficial relationships and how to do it. And there's a number of steps that I advise friends, family, clients on in order to do that. And we can talk about that if you'd like.
Oh, I'm just sitting here feeling like I just went through a coaching session, which is a good thing.
I do some of that. Yeah.
I mean that, which is a good thing, because I do, you know, even myself, you get busy and we're pulled in a million different directions and travel, and I can make a million excuses why you don't reach out, right? And connect the way you do. It'll be 11 o'clock at night and someone will pop into my head and I'll shoot them an email. You know, understanding that that's at least, hey, I was thinking about you, hope everything is going well, really no purpose other than to just, you know, let them know you're thinking of them. But I have an hour every day in the car commuting that I could be making four phone calls mm-hmm. and connecting with people. So I'm connecting that even for myself as a business owner, just the different weight I put on different things. And I think some of us have gotten skewed with social media and with technology.
It's a real issue. And I think I'm no Luddite by any means. I'm someone who fully embraces technology, but I'm also someone who realizes the limits of technology and counsels my clients to understand that. Let me give you a couple, if I could, low tech but highly effective ways to nurture relationships, and as I mentioned before, to build a partner level relationship with someone where you're letting them influence you and vice versa. And it's one that is reciprocal. So this may seem like common sense, but remember special days. And I'm not talking about birthdays. Everybody can remember a birthday because technology makes that easy. Can you remember someone's citizenship anniversary? Can you remember their child's birthday or even name for that matter? There's a difference between someone you sit across who you feel like they know you, and because they actually do, because they're paying attention and they're picking up on the little things. And that's the part of a partner relationship, is remembering special days. You mentioned, Jamie, phone calls. Heck, I've on a number of occasions been known to just leave voicemails during the course of a day, not fully expecting to get someone on the phone because we're all busy and working. But that power of hearing someone live, even if it is recorded, is really a differentiator and lets someone know that you're thinking of them and treating them in a special way. I would say too, inviting people to events. This is something that I picked up from a really trusted peer of mine who, even if she can't go, she's constantly sending out notices of events that she thinks that person wants to be at, and if possible, attending with them. And even if they can't go, the gesture and the offer will build that reciprocal relationship and let them know that you're thinking about them. And it goes back to the idea of to know someone is to then like them and then ultimately trust them. So a lot of these are foundational, but we take for granted that, you know, making a phone call when an email is easier, or sending a link to an article when we could just as easily not. That's where technology can actually be a benefit to us. We can do things a lot more quickly and efficiently. And actually, and this is something I teach with my clients as well, how do you scale relationships? How do you plan spontaneity? And this is a way, you know, whether it's remembering special days, making phone calls people can't answer, inviting them to events, introducing people to other people, right? Jamie, you and I have on a number of occasions introduced people to others we thought we should each know, and we're better for it. And it's not lost on me what that means, because I never take for granted the trust and the confidence it takes to introduce someone to someone else you respect, trust, and like. That's risk, but that's also a demonstration of the relationship. So there are many other ways to demonstrate your appreciation and build a partner relationship. Those are just a few that I think your listeners could stand trying or reinforcing if they have those behaviors already.
Great reminder and just really great simple tips. And it kind of leads into my next question, but more around, you know, we've got a lot of listeners too that are maybe even earlier in their careers. I even know of some high school and college students that listen to our podcast because they believe these concepts are important even before you get into the working world. What advice would you give someone that's new to their career, new to building a business, or even just new to the position they're in? Right, in a company, around, you know, how they need to think about how they foster, how they value relationships. What are the foundational, like the ways to start, and how to kind of create that mindset that you talked about?
Yeah, I mean, the first part is just understanding that if you approach relationships very intentionally and thoughtfully, you will stand out. You will be considered because you will be more sincere, more interested. And therefore, someone who should be helped to a greater degree, right? If someone is going to help us, we have to earn it. And one of the things that either young professionals, college students, or others might not realize is that they are, because of their position being young or new to their career, people want to help them more. So where they might not feel like they can ask for help or don't have a basis because they don't feel they can help somebody else, they don't realize that people want to help them more. You know, you and I have been in our careers for many, many years. People want to help us. We have a lot of trusted peers and colleagues and friends who want to see us do well and succeed, but not to the same degree that young professionals do. So when I'm talking to young professionals, heck, I was just at the University of St. Thomas a couple of weeks back, talking to a class that we're doing this research project with my peer group that I mentioned before, the Communications Collective. And I told the students to, first of all, grab a piece of paper and a pen. And I was heartened by the fact that I didn't see a single computer open. So they had really taken this attentiveness to a higher level than I expected, at least in a college classroom. But I told them, grab a pencil and paper and write down three things. One, who are your biggest advocates? Two, what are new relationships that you don't yet have that you need? Whether it's from a job search standpoint, whether it's if you're looking to join a board, whether you're looking for Series A funding, whatever that is. And then third, who are people that can help or hinder your success, but over which you have no positional authority? So if you take those three areas and put pen to paper, don't keep it in your head. That's a terrible place to keep information. Write it down and say, who are my biggest advocates? Who are the relationships that I don't yet have that I need? And who can help or hinder my success? You will invariably come up with a fairly long list of people that you can nurture currently and then identify for the future and then start to cultivate that relationship. But that only comes with awareness of who you need in order to create those relationships, to build that influence, to ultimately change someone's mind. And again, acknowledging that you build social capital within relationships, but they have to be relationships that you've identified. So when I talk to college students, when I talk to young professionals, we start with that list of three areas, and it starts with names. And then once you have names, you can then talk about, what are the current rules of the relationship? What relationship rules would I change? How do I want to be seen? Which isn't a question that we naturally really ask ourselves, but we should. And then ultimately, what do we want this person to do? How can we help? I could go on. But those are some of the key questions to ask yourself once you determine who these people are that you either want, can, or should influence, and then what are you going to do about it? There's methodology in there, but there's also just habits to get yourself into in order to really nurture these relationships and use them as a competitive differentiator.
And I love that you use the word habits, because I think that's ultimately what you're trying to get to, where it's not as much work, you know, you don't have to think about it as much, but, you know, being a big connector myself, right? I pride myself in, and I love connecting people and being connected to people. And I spend a huge majority of my time doing that kind of work. It can become very overwhelming then in understanding how all of these people I'm connected to, how can I create that relationship when the number is so huge? I think that exercise you just gave is something even I can relate to and I need to do on a regular basis to say, given where I'm at and where my business is at and what we need right now, those people are going to ebb and flow, and that's okay. How do you organize your time and organize your approach so that it maybe isn't everybody? Because I think that's what can get overwhelming. As you grow in your career and you have more and more connections, you know, I think about salespeople, or, you know, they have just lists of people. How do they organize that? And so I think this approach that you gave is a great way to do that.
Yeah, thanks. And I mean, it's not difficult. I mean, it takes time. It takes deliberate effort and practice, but it's not hard to do. And you will be amazed when you start paying more attention, showing more care for a small few people in your life, personally or professionally, what that can do for you. Because again, we succeed when other people want us to. But first you have to know who wants to see you succeed, and then they can help you.
We succeed when other people want us to. That's a great place to just wrap our minds around and kind of wrap this conversation up. And what I love about what you've laid out here is it aligns to what we talk about in this podcast with superpowers, in that you're not saying you need to have X, Y, and Z strengths to build good relationships. You're saying these are like principles that you use your own innate strengths and you show up super authentically, but these are some things you need to be doing within your strengths. And so I think it's nice that you don't have to be a high nurturer, you know, to be good at relationships. You can be who you are. You can be very analytical, very process focused, but you can still be good at this. And I love that message. And it makes it really feasible for all of us, you know, to start implementing. So, I know people are going to want to know more about you, Aaron. So how can people find out more information about you, about Wheelhouse, even about the upturnships? I would love, we can put a little bit of information in the podcast notes for people that are interested in supporting that cause, because I know you do a lot of amazing work with them. And I want to give them a little bit of PR here and plug what they do, because I know it is amazing work.
Yeah, so thanks, Jamie. I'll start with upturnships. It's a wonderful organization. Julie Burrows founded or co-founded the organization. And like I mentioned, they help college students, mostly of color, train and place them for college internships. And for my next 20 speaking engagements, I'm donating $100 for each one to upturnships. I believe in it that much. And there are a lot of good causes out there. This is a really, really well-deserving one. You can also learn a lot more on their website. For me personally, you can check me out at wheelhouseusa.com. I'm also on LinkedIn as Aaron Zaslavsky, and I blog on a number of topics, mostly just around cultivating relationships within business, but also on topics like executive positioning and trust, nurturing character for the sake of your brand and that of the company, and employee engagement, topics like employer brand and how to stand for something as an employer. So I have a lot of varied interests, and I'm fortunate to have a wonderful set of clients that I get to work with every day. But it's not lost on me that relationships are the foundation of all of that. And that said, thank you very much for having me on. I really enjoyed it. And I think that there's a lot here that we've discussed that with a little bit of a tweak, people can really benefit from in their lives and career.
I could not agree more. And the whole premise of this podcast is that we're talking to real people with real successes and real failures and real experience that, you know, have a different perspective and can help you just shift your paradigm a little bit. And you've certainly done that today with real things that we can start to do, right? It doesn't take a bunch of work and a bunch of studying and go read 10 books. It's just start, be better every day, right? Just start doing this a little bit better and you're going to start to reap the rewards. And that's when it just starts to become habit, when you see the return on your time spent on relationships. So I love that. And I just want to thank you again for being here. I know you are a busy guy with a lot going on, and I know my listeners appreciate this. And this is a topic that will definitely help them, you know, get unstuck and start thinking about things differently. And Superpower Success community, as always, I'm grateful that you're here and that you're listening. Please remember to subscribe and to give us ratings and reviews so that we know what topics are really resonating with you so that we can talk more about that. We can bring on other speakers and other great leaders in our communities to help just give us a different perspective, to help us grow. And as always, make sure that every day you're really using those superpowers to work towards that next level of success, whatever that looks like for you. Thanks, everybody.